You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on HeritageRadioNetwork.org live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right, we are on the line with Ben Flanner and we are about to get the lowdown on what's been happening over at the Grange. Ben, why don't you clue us in?
Hey, Aaron. So, yeah, this week we're just going to kind of get caught up a little bit on everything that's going on and maybe circle back to a couple of the things we've talked about in the past weeks. So, it's the last week of May. It's going to be June 1st in 2 days. And we generally have a goal of transplanting most of our summer plants by right around that date. So we've been cranking away. Last week we talked about how we were putting the peppers out. And this week we're going to continue with probably about the last 20% of our tomatoes and peppers and eggplants and okra, that kind of stuff. But one other thing about the peppers, so last week we were putting them outside. We were feeling pretty good. It was the second last week of May, definitely past the last frost. Weather was nice. And it was really windy over the weekend. I don't know exactly how many miles per hour the wind hit, but we do now have a weather sensor, but I just don't have access to the data yet. But it'll be really interesting to see it. But it was like being on a boat, especially Saturday afternoon with the rain, too. So the peppers got whipped up quite a bit, unfortunately. It bent the stems. You know, it was, you're watching it, and there's not a ton you can do. Some of them were staked. Some were not. And you saw the stems getting bent up a little bit. And the stems didn't snap, which is good, but the leaves definitely got kind of mushed. They've just been blowing around so much. Some of them got mushed, particularly on the jalapenos and the Hungarian hot waxes, which is something we were talking about. Interestingly, the chichitos, the habaneros, the carmens, and the fresnos all hung in there pretty well. But we're going to give it a couple days and see if the leaves regrow, because as I said, the stems were okay. But we're already kind of looking at backup plan, and we do have more jalapenos that we'll be putting out probably today, actually. But then we do not have any more hot waxes, so kind of an example of how you got to roll with it. We have some more at the other farm, which will be all right, but our hot sauce will have a little bit less Hungarian hot wax pepper in it than we were planning for this year.
Now, Ben, just curious, was the additional damage that the Hungarian peppers received a result of their placement on the farm or the plant itself, do you think?
It's a very good question, and I don't actually know the answer, but it could have been in a slightly stronger wind corridor, or also, yeah, the variety, or the day it was put in. For example, if they were put in maybe just like a day before the windstorm versus even if it had been a week before the windstorm, that would be another variable. But speaking of that, that's something that we've been talking about, which would be really fun and interesting, is to put up a couple wind sensors around the farm. So not only can we can collect aggregate data on the wind, but then we can also look at and figure out if there's little microclimates that are windy or less windy. And then in the future, we can optimize our planting schedule around them and plant accordingly.
Well, I think what's so interesting about kind of this example that you've highlighted for us here is it really belies the kind of importance of experience, as a food producer from year to year, to be able to understand all the different things that could have a potential impact and being able to make decisions from a place of fuller information. I think, really highlights the importance of preserving, I think, that knowledge and finding ways to communicate that from one farmer or one generation of farmers to the next.
Yep, and the exact same at any farm. There's always microclimates. There's different fields that have different pitches. For example, if there's a very slight south pitch, that's closer to the perpendicular with the sun, and you're going to get X amount more solar energy coming to that field versus a north pitch. that you can stagger those crops. It's pretty endless how tweaky you can get with it.
Well, one of the other things we were going to touch on today is spreading nutrients. So what's going on in that arena?
So we're steadily spreading nutrient. We got about 4 yards last week of some real nice bagged compost, and we pretty much used it up already. We're just spreading it in, trying to keep on inoculating it with the microorganisms and the biological activity that's in the compost, plus, of course, the nutrient, trying to make that as available as we can to the plants. And then we're also weeding, and wanted to talk about that for a minute, how kind of the seasonality and it's interesting to watch how different seeds germinate at different times. Because it's amazing how cyclical and also on cue all the weed seeds are. Because if you look at any specific bed, you know there's a hodgepodge of different seeds that have fallen into that bed since last year. You know, they've embedded since winter because you see them coming up at different times. But almost at cue, you know, you get a cycle of one type and then another type. For example, right now we're getting the lamb's quarters and oak leaf goosefoot and a few types of grasses. And then just starting to get the purslane, but the purslane really likes June because it likes those warmer nights and a little hotter temperature to germinate. And then you also see it with vegetables too. For example, we'd had a whole lot of basil growing in one section last year at the farm in the Navy Yard, and a lot of it went to seed, and we knew it was dropping some seeds, but at that point, you know, you deal with it. So we raked out the beds and replanted them. And just in the last week, all the seeds are germinating. But, you know, they've been there since April, and the bed's been raked since then. But the temperature wasn't quite that perfect combination of heat and temperature and moisture and all that. And then the exact same, we had planted some basil seeds several weeks ago. And on cue, the ones that planted naturally versus the ones that we had sown ourselves, they all came up at the exact same time. And then the same thing with some wild shiso. I was walking down Clinton Avenue on the way away from the farm, and I saw this yard next to the sidewalk with tons of baby little shiso that was all like an inch high, meaning it germinated probably a week or two prior. And that was exactly the same time as this shiso germinated at our farm, too. So I thought that was interesting. It's kind of fun to notice that and stuff we can't even, you know, the galaxies can't even communicate to that to us. What makes those seeds germinate at exactly that time, all in queue, all in tandem together?
Yeah, it's like the secret life of plants, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Ben, thanks so much for taking some time away from the farm to give us a quick update, and we look forward to checking in with you again next week.
Sure. We'll talk about what we're harvesting next week.
Sounds good. If folks want to find out more about what's happening over the Grange, sign up for volunteer chefs, figure out when the market days are, get involved in the CSA, definitely visit them at www.brooklyngrangefarm.com, and make sure to tune in next Thursday for another episode of the Rooftop Farm Report.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.